Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Hello, Jama.
Hello, everybody. It's brighter up here than it looks, so bear with me. I'm going to be performing a short piece. Wow, people don't like it already. The name of it is Applause in Original. I am composure. I am grace. I am success. It is my fate. I am my future. I leave my past. Present today, alive at last. I am God's own. I try to act and I praise his name for my joy lasts. And I will soar among the stars, for I left my failures and I left them far. And you think I'm perfect, yet I'm so flawed. But when I look up, I hear angels applaud for my God, my King, for my Emperor. So please applaud. But then the night falls and the thoughts creep and the past comes and I can't sleep and I can't breathe because I don't know what I don't know. I just don't know. Can I heal it? Can I heal this? And the voices, they flood me and I say no, but they flood me and I say still. I just stay still and I lay still, but I pray still. I can fix this. Help me fix it. Oh, please, God, help me fix it. But you won't know. Oh, you won't know, because you don't even know what you don't know. Because from this head down to this toe, it's not composed for your show, but for my sake, my inner debate, to keep my state all in one place. One string unwraps, unravel it all. Keep it together, lest I fall. And I won't fall, no, I don't break, because I will do whatever it may take to shove you down while I succeed, because you are not the end of me. See, because I am composure, I am grace, I am success, it is my fate. I am my future, I leave my past, present today, alive at last. And I am God's own. I try to act and I will praise his name for my joy lasts. And I will soar among the stars because I left my failures and I left them far. And I know I'm not perfect. I'm really full of flaws. But when I look up, I hear angels applaud for my God, my King, my Emperor. So please, a pod. Thank you.
Awesome. Come on, give it up for Ijama. Wait. Stay here, girl. We got to pray for Ijama. Actually, within 24 hours, she's heading back to the States. Man, we're really going to miss you. You know, we're really believing that as you go back. We believe for more people like her that will use the creative arts to display God's intentions for people and release people into their destiny. Because how many of you know the United States desperately needs people like Ijama? So if you could just stretch out your hands, we're going to pray for her and just pray a blessing upon her as she goes. Father, I thank you for my sister, Lord God, just for the time that she's been here, Lord, and really impacted a lot of lives. And I know her life has been deeply impacted since being here, even though it's been short. We really believe this won't be the last time we see her. We're thankful in advance that, you know, these relationships that we get to have across the seas are made easier through the internet. But we pray, Lord, your blessing and your guidance upon her as she heads back to the United States. Lord, continue to cause her to be one who's used as a vessel to bring impact to her peers, to her campus, and to her nation, Lord God. I thank you in advance, Lord, that you're going to give her just many sisters that she can pour her life and pour her joy into, Lord God, that would find their security not in the applause of man, but in the applause we just heard about, the applause of heaven. So we thank you, Lord, for Ijama, Lord. Bless her, guide her, Lord God, And we pray, Lord, for provision as well as she heads back, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray for good rest on that long trip home. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. So be sure to say goodbye to her as she heads out. How's everybody doing? You good? Did you enjoy that? That was nice. We're continuing in our series called The Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7. And I'm kicking off Matthew chapter 6 today. And we'll just get straight into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn them to Matthew chapter 6. If you don't, I have it up on the screen for you from the ESV. And it says here, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Father, we thank you that you are a God who sees the public and the private life. And Lord, I pray for just open hearts to hear what you have for us today. Lord, I pray, God, that you would cause me to be succinct in the delivery of your word, Lord God. It's your word, Lord, not my opinion, not what I have prepared. Lord, guide me prophetically as I steward your word and deliver it to my brothers and sisters, that they hear directly from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I came really expectant today. I came really expectant. I just felt like God was going to do something really special today. But how many of you know you should come that way every Sunday? You know, not kind of coming and then you kind of rate it out of 10. Oh, today I kind of feel like it's going to be a 6 today. Come on, how many of you know God on a scale of 1 to 10 is like 174 plus infinity every time? But it's a matter of what you expect. You know, a colloquial way of putting it is how much you lean in. How much you lean in. I don't know if any of you remember, because most of you are a lot younger than me. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. But there used to be a guy named Michael Jackson, just in case you didn't know. But he was an amazing dancer. He would bury Chris Brown. All that whip and nae nae stuff. I'm sorry about that. But Michael Jackson... Michael Jackson would whip any nene, okay? But there was a move he did on a song called Smooth Criminal, and I don't know how many times I tried to do that move. How many of you know the move I'm talking about? You know, it was the lean, you know? You've been hit by a coco, you've been struck by a smooth criminal. And then he would do this lean, and I was always trying to look for the wires. You know, is it like a kung fu movie? But he leans like about 45 degrees, and then comes back up. I was like, man, he's amazing. He's amazing. I'm sure there were wires and special effects. But anyway, you don't know how many times as like an 11-year-old I tried that move and scratched my forehead hitting the concrete. You know. But that's the way that God wants us to lean in every Sunday we come. We've got to come expectant. We've got to come leaning in. Can you turn to somebody and tell them, come leaning in. Don't come sleeping in. All right? All right? Are you with me today? All right, we're going to break down the scripture. I'm just going to keep it very simple today. This whole message, as you can see from the scripture that I've just quoted, is about giving. It's about giving. And it's about the kind of giving that Jesus endorses. Okay? And so as we delve into this message, we're going to begin to break down what he says here, because there's so much here. There's so much here. Notice the first word. It says beware. In some versions, it says take heed. How many of you have in your version that you have there? It says take heed. Beware. The word beware is obviously made up of two words. Be aware. Like always constantly be aware of what he's about to talk about. Okay, so just notice that. And how many of you know if Jesus says beware, you really have to be cautious. It's something that you should put at the forefront of your mind as to what he's about to address here. Are you with me? Like he says, beware, it's important. So let's look at what he talks about here. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen. In order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Why? Because your reward is the praise of man. We talked about that last week as we were talking about the secret life. I don't know about you, but one of the things that God has been working on in me is the spirit of the selfie photo. I'm going to be, can I be honest with you guys? Because you're my family and all that. But this is okay, I'm going to keep it real with you. Because it's easy to point the finger at other people who do it on Facebook. But I'm just going to show you that I was dealing with that. Was, past tense. No longer, okay? Or at least I'm being aware, okay? But here's what I mean. Like, I've had the honor and the privilege to lead worship and speak at some great places. And so there's always that temptation to take the selfie with thousands of people in the background. Look at me leading worship to the glory of the Lord. And there's like thousands of people in the crowd. I'm like, lift my hand while I take the photo with the selfie. I mean, have you ever thought about this, the whole invention of the selfie stick? Think about your dad's generation and what they would have done with the selfie stick. You know that would have been a weapon, right? And someone, you know, they extend the, you know. Selfie stick. My dad had an old, like, Instamatic Kodak camera. When you wind it up, and then you, but I could never imagine him holding that thing and taking a photo of him, you know, and his thunder flares and the clothes he used to wear, his flower shirt and stuff. But there's something about this generation, we like to be recognized in terms of who we are, where we're, who we're, you know, check it out, I'm with this celebrity, take this picture, look at how awesome I am. I know none of you have dealt with it, this is why I'm bringing it up myself. Because I seriously have dealt with it. Like, God began to unearth it in my life because and because of my occupation, I would hide it under the guise of this is ministry, you know. And so I would minister to prominent people or with alongside prominent people, or I would minister to large crowds. And if there was a large crowd, I wanted everybody to see how good how good God has been. Hallelujah. And again, I know none of you deal with it. Some of you are on your Instagram right now deleting photos. Like, oh, Pastor Nelly, better not see that one. But how many of you know this is the generation that we live in? It's like we're wanting, and there's studies that have shown chemicals are released in your brain that are similar to that of the high you might get from a drug when you see that your photo on Facebook has a certain number of likes on it. It's like, woo, check it out. And then you compare the number of likes that you have to somebody that's of your friend, that is your friend, and they don't have as many likes, then another chemical is released in your brain, like, and then you spiritualize it. Praise the Lord. But that's the generation, and I'm here to tell you that it's not a new thing. It's just we have new tools to magnify the spirit of the selfie. The selfie has always been there. It's just that we have social media that merely magnifies it even more. How many friends you have on Facebook? Let me tell you, half of those friends are not really your friends. Half of them are trying to sell you like bootleg Jordans. They're trying to get you to join up with some pirate game anyway. I want you to understand this. The spirit is not new. It's been around since Jesus' time. And that's why Jesus says, beware. Beware of this. Beware of this. I bring it up because we all deal with it, okay? It's not something that we're all proud of, but it's something that we've got to understand exists. And it's so key that we understand this now, because Jesus highlights it by saying, beware. And so in saying this, it's in order to be seen. It's the visualization. And the way to kind of combat this, so you know, I address the problem, but some of you may be asking, okay, Pastor Nelly, how do you deal with it then? Here's a tip for you. Write this down if you're taking notes. Always run those things through the filter of helpful. What do I mean by that? So rather than like me on purpose taking photos of myself in action, doing whatever I'm doing, or alongside somebody that may make me feel good or look good, only between myself and God can we judge the motive. And so my motive needs to be not look who I'm with, but my motive now needs to be look who I'm helping. You know, so we're addressing it from being helpful now. How can you test yourself with regards to being helpful? Well, go ahead and look at your Facebook posts. For those of you who aren't on Facebook, praise God for you. But there is a nation of 200 million people on Facebook that need Jesus too. So there's good and bad stuff about being on Facebook and being not on Facebook. But a lot of us can succumb to the drug of recognition like this. And so here's how I want to address it. Ask yourself with regards to the true motive of why you post that, or why you do that, or why you give that. Because otherwise you become judged as to what your motive is. Look at me in Africa. What you talking about, Willis? What's your motive? What's your motive for doing missions or going to do certain things? I remember in the mid-2000s, the noughts. I can't remember exactly which year it was. I should have looked it up. But Hotel Rwanda, this movie by Don Cheadle, which highlights what happened in Rwanda during the time of genocide there. And Don Cheadle was nominated for Best Actor, and the film itself was nominated. It's just a horrific movie about the horrific events that happened there. And of course, George Clooney is a very close friend of Don Cheadle, and he was being interviewed on the red carpet. And one of the questions that was asked to him on the red carpet was, you know, what stirred you to want to work alongside Don Cheadle and studying the charity work that they were doing in Rwanda at the time? And he said something really interesting. You know, apart from obviously having a heart for Rwanda, he said something like this. He said, I do it because I want to be able to sleep at night and after looking at myself in the mirror, knowing I've done something. Now that's good, but then that's kind of, okay, is that really the motive? I was actually honoring him for being real with it, because like some of us do it merely for the, you know, just to soothe ourselves. It's not necessarily for those we're helping. It's just because we feel this guilt. And some of that is a conviction. It's compassion from the Lord. But some of that is just, how do I look? And that's why I want to encourage you in your giving, understand that you must run it through the filter of being helpful. God and his greatest commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And secondly, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. See, being empowered by God through your love for him as he first loved you, you love your neighbor. You are helpful to your neighbor. So that's the motive behind why we should give. Now, let's continue to break down the scripture as we talk about Jesus' model for giving. Are you with me today? Okay, so first thing that he encourages us is to give privately. Everybody say, give privately. It says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what the right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Notice that it says when, okay? But when, it does not say if. See, if the passage starts with beware, it's constantly being aware. If it says when, we should also be constantly aware that we're of opportunities to give. When you give. And notice it says that you'll give to the needy. We'll get to that in a moment. Do not let your left hand know what the right hand is doing. I read a number of commentaries with regards to this phrase. Most of them agreed that it would be, it's in light of the English device called hyperbole. How many of you know what hyperbole is? It's the over-exaggeration of a certain term. You know, I won't tell you any jokes, but there was a bunch of jokes that came out in the late 90s, early 2000s called the Yo Mama Snaps. I won't tell you any because we're in church. But they usually used exaggeration in order to be humorous. Like, your mama's so old that she owes Moses $3. I told you I wasn't going to. A lot of the reasons why those jokes were funny because they were over-exaggerations. And Jesus is actually being humorous here. He's saying, this is how secret it needs to be. Your left hand shouldn't know what your right hand is doing. Your right hand shouldn't know what your left hand is doing. But a couple of commentaries pointed to this too, that it needs to be that quick of an initiative that your left hand doesn't have time for you to question it. How many of you have ever been in a situation where God has clearly spoken to you, you're supposed to give, and then that secondary thought comes? But you know, the secondary thought, the logical thought, the, oh, we might need nappies thought, or, oh, I don't have enough to pay the bills thought. How many of you remember, I've told the story before, I'll tell it again, about Billy Graham, the great evangelist, was sitting as a young groom to his bride, Ruth, and they were sitting in a church meeting, and he noticed that the offering was going around. He had in his wallet a $100 note and a $20 note, and he was wrestling with it. He was about to give the 20. He noticed that Ruth was looking at him, so he put the 100 in. And then she leaned over to him and said, in your heart, you gave 20. Praise the Lord for our wives, man. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. See, the longer we leave it and the more we let that secondary thought come, that secondary thought is usually either your flesh or the enemy trying to twist up what God's already initiated. He says, give it. And it takes a nanosecond to get from your left hand to the right hand. Like, the thought needs to be, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right away. I'll come back to this thought because this deserves some expansion on understanding this. But it's both hyperbole, meaning that that's how secret it needs to be. I love this quote from Oswald Sanders. He says, the question is not how much of my money should I give, but it is how much of God's money do I get to keep? Two ways to look at your wallet. Is it yours or is it God's? Some people are like, oh, you know, I can't believe I have to give God 10%. No, you get to keep 90. Have you ever thought about it that way? All your money belongs to him. Oh, that's an Old Testament concept. Okay, New Testament, give him everything. Take off your Jordans right now, as smelly as they are, and put them in the offering. You know what? Give him the keys to your car that you came in here with. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm good for 10%. Yeah. Yeah, you should be. God blessed you with that. God gives that to you. But out of a heart of thankfulness, you want to give him even more. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference in the way that we think now, because we come from a heart of thankfulness, not from a heart of that secondary thought that second guesses itself and doesn't allow the thought to go from the left hand to the right. That's God's money you got in your wallet. Dio's going to get quiet at this part. It's okay. Number two, just me and you, Chris. All good. Give missionally. Everybody say, give missionally. Give missionally. Now, we are a church, and you're going to constantly hear this phrase. We are a church that loves to give financially to missions, that loves to go on missions. We should give, pray, and go. Say that with me. Give, pray, and go. Okay? Be prepared. Be prepared. I would love to see everybody in this room that calls Ian Brisbane home, and even the people that aren't here today and that are listening to this podcast, just to settle it in your heart. Lord, my Bible is ready and my passport is renewed because I'm ready. If you call me to go, I'm ready to go. And I'm not that insecure of a pastor to say, No, you should be here forever. With me. Forever. No, if God calls you to go, to be a blessing, not to go and take selfies there. But I'm here to tell you today, we are a church that is set on missions. Set on being missional. Set on being missional, both here in Brisbane, here in Australia, and overseas. I just wanted to highlight something exciting that's happening in our midst, just up north from where we are in Papua New Guinea. How many of you love Papua New Guinea and are ready to see that one for Jesus? Amen. Come on, T. Go ahead, show the video, bro.
Papua New Guinea is located south of the equator in the Oceania region. It is surrounded by poverty, struggling to cope with the increasing rate of violence, particularly against women and children. This is why one of the 2015 goals of every nation world missions team is to plant a church in this nation. It is our hope that by preaching the gospel and discipling the youth, Papua New Guinea will radically transform for Jesus. During a recent scouting trip for a potential church location, our team met Nana Inday, a 65-year-old Filipina businesswoman who has made the nation her home for 11 years. With a heart for the locals and the youth, she has become our key contact who paved the way for us to meet one of the deans of the University of Papua New Guinea. Upon our meeting, the dean expressed her support towards our church planting activities. This means that we can potentially share the gospel to 15,000 young people studying in that university. We are excited for this opportunity and ask that you hold the ropes for our missionaries who will go and plant a church this year. Thank you for praying. Thank you for giving. Thank you for doing your part in making disciples of all nations.
Yep. Pray, give, and go. Now, many of you know we're going in October to the Philippines to do some missions work there. And we've got a small team going to India as well. Our little church is already starting to think missionally. Next year, we'll be going to Fiji and Papua New Guinea. You better believe that. There are other missions opportunities that are going to happen next year as well. And so keep your ears and eyes peeled with regards to that. But especially you single people, my goodness. You know, while he's not in your life, make sure he's in your life. Fly somewhere, do missions. It's not more attractive than somebody ministering and reaching people. Ah, hola. Hola, reaching people. But when you give to the needy. Notice that he separates giving from with regards to the church, and there's a difference here. He's talking about missional giving, giving with regards to the people that are in need. See, the church also should be vessels that don't just give to the church. That's important, of course. But there's also a need to give to the needy, those who are in need. And I know many of you in this room are surrounded by people who are in need or have opportunities to give to those in need. Pray about those and pray how God might use you with regards to that. Anyway, I just want to give you my final point, if we can go back to the slides, please, Michael. Lastly is, Christ urges us to give sacrificially. Give sacrificially. Everybody say, give sacrificially. This is my last point, everybody. You see, it's not really giving if it doesn't cost you anything. It's not the sort of giving that God requires of us. If it doesn't really cost us anything, it's not the sort of, let me put it this way, it's not the sort of giving that God really honors if it's kind of like our spare change. It's not really a sacrifice if it's our spare change. So, my final point is, if you look at the three points I've brought up, we're to give in secret, in private. We're to give generously, and we're to give sacrificially. And we're to give missionally, sorry. I want us to understand this. that Jesus not only preached this as his sermon, but he embodied it at the cross. But Pastor Nelly, you know, you said he gave privately when he was at the cross. No, I mean, of course it was in public, but check this out, guys. The decision was made in heaven that was what he was born to do. So it was made away from everybody. And in fact, the night before he died, he ended up in private crying out to the Lord because all his disciples were sleepy. And so in that privacy, in the privacy of that moment, he cried out, sweating blood. That's how immense the stress was upon him. And he made himself unified with that purpose that was on him to be crucified. It wasn't a decision that was made in public. But how many of you know he'd already resolved in my heart, I'm going to die. So it was done in private. Secondly, it was missional, meaning that in order for him to die and be resurrected, it was his mission was to see you and I come to a knowledge of who God is and walk in right relationship with him. I'm here to tell you today that God modeled missional giving through his son Jesus Christ. Missional giving looks like this. You leave the comforts. And no one was in more of a comfort than Jesus Christ, being honored in the presence of angels, walking on streets of pure gold, more pure than any gold substance that we have here on earth. He is king. And then for him to be born in a manger cave and without a home for all of the endurance of all of the tenure of his ministry. You talk about being cross-cultural. He was literally cross-cultural. He took himself out of a place of comfort and came down to the poorest of the poor, the lowest of the low, including being crucified for an accusation that came upon him from the people of Israel that was not his to take. What, guilty because you are the king of the Jews? And so he gives himself away to us, firstly, privately in his decision. Secondly, he gives himself away to us missionally, meaning that he intended to lay his life down so that we all in this room on the other side of the world would come to know him. And then thirdly, he gave himself sacrificially. Another example of this that models what Jesus did is a prototype, it's a type and shadow of what would come in Jesus Christ's death, was Abraham and the laying down of his son Isaac. Can you imagine this? The dude was like pushing 100 years old. He was promised at the age of 75, you're going to have a son. Okay, think about it. I know none of you are 75 years old, but think about yourself at the age of 75 being promised you're going to have a kid. Sarah laughed at him. You know, she was like, are you crazy? It's not you gonna have the kid, I'm gonna have the kid. And I'm old. Like, she was rolling in there. Like, rolling in there. And he's looking at her like, and not only that, it took 25 years, most scholars would say, from the time that the promise was given to the time it actually came true. On the way to that promise was an Ishmael. Because they grew tired of waiting, and so his wife said to Abraham, go and just lie with your handmaid and have a child with him. How many of you know God doesn't want you to answer in your own way the promise that God has given you? Please, this is for somebody in this room. Don't settle for an Ishmael. For some of you, it might be a boyfriend. Don't settle for an Ishmael. Some of you, it's a business opportunity or a career opportunity. Don't settle for an Ishmael. God has promised you, and he's not a man that he should lie. He will come through. And so the promise came to being, and Abraham receives Isaac. And this is what Hebrews says after this. Because there's a time when Isaac having been born and having grown up, he's in his teenage years. And then God tells Abraham, go and sacrifice your son on a mountain. The son of promise, 25 years of waiting for him. Go and sacrifice your son. Watch what Hebrews says. By faith, Abraham said, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Did you catch what I'm getting at here? When God told him to sacrifice his son, it wasn't the act on the mountain. Immediately, when God told him, he had made a decision in his heart, I'm going to sacrifice my son. Some of us are like, but, you need to get your butt out of the way of God's will. Because biblical giving is sacrificial. It's understanding, you know what, God, I'm going to move out of the way. I'm coming into your purposes. I'm coming into your plans. God, I am resolving my spirit. Even though the action has not happened, I haven't climbed the mountain. I haven't told my son what's going to happen. We're just going to walk this out. I have said yes in my spirit that I will follow you. And I will resolve to obey you to the nth degree. No matter what it means, no matter what it takes, I will give myself sacrificially. How many of you, if I was to ask you today, no need for hands up, but if I was to ask you, knowing the spiritual climate that we're living in now, with the recent events in the United States, what if there was so much pressure here in Australia and you were faced with a decision? Are you going to follow Jesus or are you going to recant your faith? How many of you would say, with death threats, I will follow him. I will take up my cross, even if it's literally, and I will follow him. Now, I know this is not a popular message to preach or receive, but I want you to hear this with the right heart. I didn't want to come with a message that sounds good and massages your shoulders. I came to bring the truth. And this isn't the sort of message you preach and take a selfie with. This is an unpopular message. But you need to resolve in your spirit today. Will you follow him? Will you give yourself away to him? Let's stand to our feet as we close. We're just going to worship with this song, and I'm going to get my sisters just to lead us.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.